ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सारस्वतीं वासं ततो जयम् उदीरयेत्। स्वन्वतं स्वाकता कृष्णां पुण्यश्रवणकीर्तनः रुदन्तस्तो हि अभद्राणि विदुनोति सुहृत्सतां। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। तदा रजस्तमो भावा कामालोपादयश्चये चेत एतेरनाविद्धं स्थितं सत्वे प्रसीदति। एवं प्रसन्नमनसो भगवद्भक्तियोगतः भगवत्तत्त्वविज्ञानं मुक्तसङ्गस्य जायते विद्यते हृदयग्रन्थिस् छिद्यन्ते सर्वसंशयः क्षीयन्ते चायस्य कर्माणि दृष्ट एवात्मनीश्वरे। कैंटो टुडेज वर्स फॉर डिस्कशन कैंटो 5 विच इज क्रिएटिव इम्पेटस चैप्टर 1 द एक्टिविटीज ऑफ महाराज प्रियव्रत verse number 41. So this is the last verse in this chapter, the activities of Maharaj Priyavratam. Baumam divyam manusham cha Baumam divyam manusham cha Mahitvam karma yogajam Mahitvam karma yogajam
Mahitvam karma yogajam
Yaschakre nirayopamyam
Yaschakre nirayopamyam
Yaschakre nirayopamyam
Yaschakre nirayopamyam
Purushanujana priyaha
Purushanujana priyaha
Purushanujana priyaha
Purushanujana priyaya
Bhaumam divyam manusham cha
Bhaumam divyam manusham cha
Mahitvam karma yogajam
Mahitvam karma yogajam
Yaschakre nirayopamyam
Yaschakre nirayopamyam
Purushanujana priyaha
Purushanujana priyaya
Word to word meaning by His Divine Grace Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Baumam of the lower planets,
Divyam
heavenly,
Manusham
of human beings, Cha also, Mahitvam all opulences, Karma by fruitive activities, yoga by mystic power, jam born, yaha one who chakre did, niraya with help, opamyam comparison or equality, Purushaha, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Anujana, to the devotee, Priyaha, most dear. Translation by His Divine Grace Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. As a great follower and devotee of the sage Narada, Maharaja Priyavrata considered hellish the opulences he had achieved by dint of fruitive activities and mystic power, whether in the lower or heavenly planetary systems or in human society. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Rupa Goswami has said that the position of a devotee is so super excellent that a devotee does not consider any material opulence worth having. There are different types of opulences on earth, in the heavenly planets, and even in the lower planetary system known as Patala. A devotee, however, knows that they are all material, and consequently he is not at all interested in them. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Param Drishtva Nivartate. Sometimes yogis and jnanis voluntarily give up all material opulences to practice their system of liberation and taste spiritual bliss. However, they frequently fall down because artificial renunciation of material opulences cannot endure. One must have a superior taste in spiritual life, then he can give up material opulence. Maharaja Priyavrata had already tasted spiritual bliss, and therefore he had no interest in any of the material achievements available in the lower, higher or middle planetary system. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport to the 5th canto, 5th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam entitled The Activities of Maharaj Priyavrata. Om Jnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Pada Sargana Lalita Sri Vishakanvitamscha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangam Langayate Girim Yat Krupatamaham Vande Paramananda Madhavam Pangam Langayate Shailam Mukam Avartayek Sutim Yat Krupatamaham Vande Krishna Chaitanya Ishwaram. I offer my respectful obeisance to Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by whose mercy even a lame man can cross over a mountain and a dumb man recite Vedic literature. Sri Chaitanya Padamboja Madhupebhyo Namo Namaha Katanchit Ashayad Esam Swapitad Gandha Bhavet. Let me repeatedly offer my respectful obeisances onto the bee-like devotees who always taste the honey of the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If even a doggish non-devotee somehow takes shelter of such devotees, he enjoys the aroma of the lotus flower. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Tarobhyascha Krupa Sindhubhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvisesha Sunyavadi Paschata Deshatarini Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Srivasadi Gauravaktarinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Translation. As a great follower and devotee of the sage Narada, Maharaja Priyavrata considered hellish the opulences he had achieved by dint of the fruitive activities and mystic power, whether in the lower or heavenly planetary system or in human society. Srila Rupa Goswami has said that the position of a devotee is so super excellent that a devotee does not consider any material opulence worth having. And this is an exalted platform. As a practicing sadhaka, we need to aim at this statement that a devotee should consider any material opulence not worth having. And we find the pastime of Srila Raghunatha Das Goswami. He was born to a rich landlord. He was the son of Govardhan Majumdar. And Govardhan Majumdar had his elder brother Hiranya. They were rich landlords. And Mahaprabhu's maternal grandfather, Chakravarti, Neelam Chakravarti, knew Raghunatha's father, Neelambar Chakravarti, knew Raghunatha's father and uncle and used to call them as Bhaiya because they were younger than he. And they too called, Raghunatha Goswami's parents, a father and uncle would call Mahaprabhu's grandfather as Dada, older brother, because he was their elder brother. He was their elder and a Brahmin. Knowing this relationship, Mahaprabhu joked once with Raghunatha Goswami. When Raghunatha Goswami ran away from home, he was born in such a rich family. In those days, their income used to be lakhs of rupees. 500 years back, lakhs of rupees. But yet, he left everything. That was not really, he considered that as not worth because it's a material opulence. And he runs away from home, where? To Puri. And gasping in breath, he lands up where Mahaprabhu was and offers his dandavas. And then Mahaprabhu, in a joking way, he says, "Your father and uncle are like worms in the latrine pit of sense gratification." So that shows what is the value of a material opulence in this material world. And that statement Mahaprabhu could make as a Supreme Personality of Godhead, because he understands the what is meant by the material opulence of this world. And Raghunatha Goswami also understands what that statement is, because he has left such a material opulence and ran away from home to take the shelter of the lotus feet of Mahaprabhu. And how is it possible? How can we consider the glitterings of this material world as worthless? And it is possible only when someone has tasted something higher than the material opulence of this world. And the material opulence of this world is worthless whether Bhaumam in the lower planetary system, because Divyam is the heavenly planetary system, Manusham on the earthly planetary system, Mahitvam, this opulence, the material opulence, whether it is on the lower planetary system or in the higher planetary system or in the earthly planetary system, is worthless. It is Niraya, is compared to hell. Aupamyam is equal to hell. And who can consider this? Someone who has taken the shelter of the Supreme Lord and has received the shelter of an exalted devotee. In the case of Priyavrata, he had the shelter of Narada Mahamuni. So someone who has taken the shelter of a Gurudev coming in a bona fide sampradaya and has received the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, or has tasted the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, that nectar, he would consider the material opulences as equal to Niraya Aupamyam. Niraya is considered to be hellish. And that's what Srila Prabhupada says in his purport, that a devotee knows that they are all material and consequently he is not at all interested in them. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, param drishtva nivartate. So, someone who has tasted higher enjoyment, then he ceases his material enjoyment. He ceases his senses from the sense enjoyment. Vishaya vinivartante niraharasya dehina rasavarjam rasopiyasya param drishtva nivartate. That is param, far superior, drishtva, by experiencing, nivartate, he ceases. Someone who has experienced far, far superior than what is available in the material world, then he ceases from the material engagement. And this is the theme we find all through Srimad Bhagavatam. There are many pastimes we find this theme being echoed. Someone who has not tasted the param drishtva nivartate, then why? Because that person, as Madhya Leela says, 19.176, bhukti mukti sprihayayat pisachi hrudi vartate. So in his heart there's a witch. Bhukti and mukti. Bhukti is for the material enjoyment and mukti is for the liberation. So someone who is harboring these two desires in their heart can never taste the nectar of the lotus feet of the Lord and receive the shelter of his Gurudev. Because the material desire to enjoy the material world and the desire to become liberated from material bondage are considered to be two witches, and they haunt one like ghosts. As long as riches remain within the heart, how can one feel transcendental bliss? As long as these two riches remain in the heart, there is no possibility of enjoying the transcendental bliss of devotional service. So long we are harboring these two riches of mukti and bhukti, then we cannot experience the transcendental bliss. So therefore, let us see where the Srimad Bhagavatam is trying to echo this parandrishtavat nivartate. In 6 point, we'll start with 3.29.13, Lord Kapila. He talks about salokya sasti samipya sarupye katvam api uta diyamanam na grihananti vina matsevanam jana. So a pure devotee does not accept any kind of liberation. Salokya, that is attaining liberation to stay on the same planetary system or same planet where Lord Vishnu is. Sasti, having the same opulence. Samipya, very close to the Lord. Or sarupya or ekatva, merging in the effulgence of the Lord. Even if they are offered the Supreme Personality of Godhead, when it does not involve in serving the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. Because having tasted the service of the Supreme Lord, even these opulences which are liberating, given, you are getting the liberation from the material world and entering the spiritual world, even such exalted achievements are not considered worth having when you have tasted the service to the Supreme Lord, the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. Then we have in 6.11.25, Vratrasura echoes the similar message. Na naka pristam na cha parameshtyam na sarva bhaumam na rasadhipatyam na yoga siddhir apunarbhavam va samagnasatva virahaya kankshe. O my Lord, source of all opportunities, I do not desire to enjoy in Dhruvaloka, the heavenly planets, or the planet where Lord Brahma resides, nor do I want to be the supreme ruler of all the earthly planets or the lower planetary system. I do not desire to be the master of the powers of mystic yoga, nor do I want liberation if I have to give up your lotus feet. So therefore we find the same message being echoed by Rudrasura. Although he was in a demonic body, but he was a devotee at the heart. And therefore he considered it as equal to nirayaupamanyam. Niraya, hellish. Aupamyam, equal to the hellish situation, when it does not involve in serving the lotus feet of the Lord. Nor do I want liberation if I have to give up your lotus feet. And then we have the same message coming in Kaliya Leela. 10.16.37. I'll take only the English translation. Those who have attained the dust of your lotus feet never hanker for the kingship of heaven, limitless sovereignty, the position of Brahma, or the rulership of the, over the earth. They are not interested even in the perfections of yoga or in liberation itself. So a devotee is not interested in any of these opulences available in this material world. Someone who has truly attained the dust of lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. Then we have similar message coming from the 11th canto, 14th chapter, verse number 14. Uddhava says, that's in Uddhava Gita, "One who has fixed his consciousness on me desires neither the position or abode of Lord Brahma or Lord Indra, nor an empire on the earth, nor sovereignty in the lower planetary system, nor the eightfold perfection of yoga, nor liberation from birth and death. Such a person desires me alone." So someone who has fixed his consciousness on Lord Krishna, then he does not desire any of the opulences, so-called opulences of this material world, whether it is the abode of Lord Brahma or the Indra or the so-called the empire of this earth or the lower planetary system. Nothing is of any value for such a devotee who has achieved the param drishtva nivartate, who has tasted, who has developed a taste for something higher, which is spiritual, compared to what is material, which is worthless, because it is niraya aupamyam, it is hellish. Because on one side we have the material opulence, and the other side you have the spiritual opulence. Which one do we prefer? Whether it is something pertaining to the body, the material aspect, or something pertaining to the spirit, which is its natural position. Obviously, a person who has risen in his consciousness to the level of the spirit soul, then such a person can never have a taste in matter or something pertaining to material objects. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also says the same in his Sikshastakam. Nadhanam najanam nasundarim kavitam va jagadisha kamaye mama janmani janmani ishvare bhavatad bhaktir ahayutuki tvai. Nadhanam, no wealth, not interested, najanam, nor followers, nor sundarim, any beauty of this world or a beautiful wife, nothing of this world interest me. And what is that I want? Mama janmani janmani ishvare, life after life I am interested in unmotivated devotional service onto your lotus feet. So this is param drishtva nivartate. I think anyone would have experienced this in if you had been to Vrindavan. Vrindavan is the place of, apart from Radha and Krishna, Krishna, Balram, we have our good friends, the monkeys. I had this experience, but I'll take the experience of His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj. As you all know, Radhana Swami Maharaj had a hitchhike from US and finally came to India, and in between he had any contact with his parents, because in those days there was no email, no mobile. Once in a while he would send a slip, and then that's how he was communicating. Maharaj says in his book, maybe once in a month or once in some time period he would send a letter and then parents would receive. But in late 1970s, I think, or 1980s, Maharaj's parents visit Maharaj in India. And Maharaj said that that visit was very memorable to his parents. And Maharaj takes them to the gateway of India, the Bombay gateway of India. And There you have the caves, Elephanta caves. I've not been to those caves, but I believe it's beautiful caves. There is lot of greenery, forest-like, a strip of park, and Maharaj was taking his parents or escorting his parents towards the Elephanta caves. And Maharaj says that his mother was about 60 years and coming from an urban Chicago environment. And as they were walking on the nature strip, suddenly a huge monkey from nowhere jumps in front of Maharaj's mother. And if you have experienced a monkey in Vrindavan or any place, the first thing the monkey does is it opens its mouth wide and then shows her teeth, which scares you, the first thing. And second, then the monkey stares at your eyes. And that monkey, I believe, had greenish eyes, wide open, right in front of his mother. Monkey was staring at his mother. And parents had come to India for pleasant trip. And here the episode is that the monkey is standing in front of them, scaring, opening its teeth. And mother was scared. She didn't know what to do. Neither Maharaj said that moment he did not know what to do. And then the monkey in the next moment, it takes a leap at his mother. And then hits mother's chest and grabs the purse from his mother and runs away to a tree, climbs up the tree. And what was in that purse? The purse had everything of mother. The credit card, the cash, the passport, the visa, the jewelry, because they could not keep the jewelry in the hotel or wherever they were staying. Everything, whole, whatever material opulence you can think at the moment, mother had, everything was in that purse. And mother was shocked. And Radhana Swami Maharaj did not know what to do. And mother was looking at her son. Is this the place where you have brought us? And Maharaj was only praying, please, some help. And when he turned around, he saw at a distance a fruit wala, a fruit seller, someone who was selling bananas. And in those days, I believe for 1 rupee, he could get 5 bananas. So Maharaj approaches the fruit seller and he says, what's the price? Looking at his desperate situation, the fruit seller says that 5 rupees, 1 banana. Instead of 1 rupee, 5 bananas, he says that 5 rupees, 1 banana. And Maharaj did not have anything in him. He said, he showed his orange robes and says, I am a sannyasi, bakshis, bakshis. And that fruit seller said, no, I want that money. Only 5 rupees, take 1 banana. Maharaj did not have any money with him. He didn't know what to do. And what did he do? He took 1 banana forcibly and ran away. And the fruit seller, with a stick in his hand, he started chasing Maharaj. Chor, chor, thief, thief. And Maharaj runs towards where the monkey was on the tree, and he was praying what to do, because the fruit seller is chasing him with a stick. And as he was about to hit Maharaj with the stick, Maharaj says that maybe Lord has heard his prayers. Another monkey comes there, and that monkey tries to eat the fruits from the fruit seller, whatever fruits he had from his bandi, from his cart. And the fruit seller saw it's one banana versus many bananas. So he leaves Maharaj and runs towards his cart. So what did Maharaj do? He looks at the monkey, he looks at the banana, he looks at the monkey, he looks at the banana, and then he throws the banana. He said that he misses the target of throwing the banana closer to monkey. But he said that was a good thing it has happened, because the monkey had to jump from where it was to grab the banana. And in the process of grabbing the banana, monkey dropped the purse. So the monkey had the higher taste for the banana and left the lower taste of the so-called the cash, credit card, whatever it was. Till then, what was monkey doing? I believe monkey pulled out Maharaj's mother's credit card, and she was chewing the credit card. But the moment she received the banana, that was the higher taste for the monkey, and therefore she left the purse, or she dropped the purse and took the banana. So this is param drishtva nivartate. Something similar to that happened to me in Vrindavan. I was walking through the Lohia Bazaar. Suddenly from nowhere behind, a monkey came and grabbed my glasses. Because there it was professional attitude. There are persons there who I don't know how they train, but they said that they've been trained. And there was one guy who said, give me 50 rupees, I'll get your glasses. I had to give 50 rupees. And then there's a fruity there. He purchased that fruity and threw the fruity, and the monkey dropped the glasses. I took that glasses as Mahaprasad from Vrindavan, because the glasses still have the markings of the monkey bite, and I still carry, I use them. That's the glasses which I use for driving and for distance vision. So what it means is that when we have higher taste, then we can leave the lower taste. Till we attain that higher taste, we are governed by the lower taste of this material world. And I'm sure the bandiwala there, after that, Maharaj receiving the purse, he takes, I believe, 10 rupees, yeah, 10 rupees, and he gives it to the bandiwala or the fruit seller, and the fruit seller was very happy that he got twice the price of his banana. But I was only thinking, even if Maharaj had not given that 10 rupees, then possibly the bandiwala would have received the blessings of Maharaj, as we find in this Chaurashtakam. Vraje prasidam navanita choram gopanganam chadukula choram aneka janmarjita papa choram chauragraganyam purusham namami. I offer my respectful obeisance to that foremost of thieves who is famous in Vraja as the butter thief, and who steals the gopis' clothes, and who, for those who take shelter of him, steals the sins which have accrued over many lifetimes. So Maharaj, by stealing his banana, as a devotee who has taken shelter of his Gurudev and shelter of Lord Krishna, would have stolen the sins of that fruit seller and thus relieved him of this material attachment. So one must have the, as stated in Bhagavad Gita, parantrishtva nivartate. Sometimes yogis and jnanis voluntarily give up all material opulence to practice their system of liberation and taste spiritual bliss. However, they frequently fall down because artificial renunciation of material opulences cannot endure. So someone who is trying to practice spiritual path, if they have not tasted param drishtva nivartate, then such a person can fall down or will fall down, because it's an artificial way of renouncing things. One must have a superior taste in life, as he can give up a material opulence. Maharaj Priyavrata had already tasted spiritual bliss, and therefore he had no interest in any of the material achievements available in the lower, higher, or middle planetary systems. Now, how do we understand this particular view living in the material world? Prabhupada says that it's the devotee understands this view. It's because the devotee adopts the view of Lord Krishna. A devotee sees this world as Lord Krishna sees this world. It is not that I see the world the way I want to see, but I see this world through the eyes of the scriptures, through the eyes of the Supreme Lord, through the eyes of my spiritual master. So a devotee's consciousness is aligned with the consciousness of the Supreme Lord. And how does the Lord see this material world? He says in Bhagavad Gita 13.8 to 13.13, one of the lines in that, Krishna says, Janma mrutyu jara vyadi dukkha dosha anudarshanam. So this is a place of janma mrutyu, birth, death, jara vyadi, old age and disease. This is how the Lord looks at this material world. Janma mrutyu jara vyadi. And therefore, this is a place of dukkha, misery, and dosha, that this is the fault in the material world. What is that fault? Janma mrutyu jara vyadi, birth, death, old age and disease. Somebody may feel, well, I don't see this world in that way. I'm quite happy. I have a good job. I have a wonderful partner who's aligned with me, whose thoughts are echoing my thoughts. I've got two lovely kids. I have no problem. Majority of them seem to be thinking in this way. But even if one thinks, which is not true, even if one thinks that his life is comfortable, his life is rosy, one day he has to leave this world. One day he has to leave his body. And after we leave this body, we need to know, where do we go? Is it just one life and everything is finished? Or there's a continuum to this life, that I'm born in another body, I take up another body. So when I'm given a body in which I have the required intelligence and I can think that I've got to use that intelligence to see that I can overcome this Janma Mrityu Jara Vyadhi, birth, death, old age and disease. And this is what a devotee sees of this material world, and hence it's easy for a devotee to relinquish the material opulences of this world. Imagine if someone says, like the Guru Maharaj said, that you are a multi-trillionaire. Not just a trillionaire, but a multi-trillionaire. For how long? 1/8 of a second. How long? 1/8 of a second. What is the value of that being a trillionaire for 1/8 of a second? Or somebody says, I think these days anyone who has flown into Australia, they are required to be quarantined. You are asked to stay in a hotel for 14 days. And that hotel gives you all arrangements. Beautiful place, all opulence, whatever you want at the bell, at the rick of the bell, you can get all the facilities, all comforts. But at the end, if the hotel management says, we'll kill you. All comforts are given to you for that your stay in the hotel. But at the time of your leaving the hotel, hotel masses will kill you. What is the value of that hotel to that person? So similarly, this material world is that you are given all the comforts, let us say hypothetically, which is not true, but still all the comforts are given to us. But at the end, it's like that hotel which is saying that we are going to kill you. At the time of birth itself, my death has been returned. So what is the value of whatever I achieve in this world? In fact, I recall a statement made by the then Chief Secretary to Government of India. That was in 1980s, I think, 1970s or 1980s. He was addressing the government on behalf of the Government of India in UN Assembly. And there he makes a profound statement. He says that poverty in India is natural. Opulence is unnatural. Why? Because no one strives for opulence in the material world. Everyone is interested only in the spiritual aspect. So therefore, they don't make an effort to in chasing any material opulence. And this is a statement made by the Chief Secretary of Government of India, not an ordinary person, where? In the UN Assembly. So that was the consciousness of the people in 1970s, not interested in material opulence. I think I must have said this when I was a child. I've seen my grandfather had only 2 acres of land and a cow. And it was all rain-fed farming. No pond, nothing. If the rain comes, then we have the grain. If there's no rain in that year, no grains. And one crop in a year. So that one crop you spend 3.5-4 months, done with it. And the rest of the 7-8 months, you're on. There's no material work, because except farming, there was no other work. And the rest of the time, they would spend in spiritual activity. And the wants were also minimal. No electricity bill, no water bill, no gas bill, no phone bill, no vehicle bill. These bills itself will consume more than half of your income in this country or these days any country. So that has been set as a benchmark for livelihood. Because without this, you can't survive. But when I was growing, I've seen in my native place, we didn't have any of this. No electricity, no water, because we used to go to the river and get the water for drinking. No gas, no phone. Wherever we would go, we were required to go only in a bullock cart, if at all. Otherwise, walking. So the life was simple and more aligned for spirituality than the material pursuance. And then here, the Param Drishtva Nivartate, Bhagavatam is trying to establish that there are equally many spiritual paths. Param Drishtva, or that Param Darshana, equally there are many paths. And that Param Darshana, you have many stages. Brahman realization is also Param Darshana. Paramatma realization is also Param Darshana. Bhagwan realization is Param Darshana. And Srimad Bhagavatam is guiding us towards Bhagwan realization, the ultimate realization, which is the Param Drishtva Nivartate. And Bhagavatam is trying to point us that how do we achieve this? Purushanujana Priyaha. How do we achieve this Param Drishtva or Param Darshana? Purushanujana Priyaha. Become dear to the Lord. Priyaha. Priyam. Become devotee of the spiritual master or disciple spiritual master. Follow the spiritual master's footsteps. Anujana to the devotee. So by becoming dear to the Supreme Lord or by following in the footsteps of your spiritual master, Purushanujana Priyaha, one can achieve that Param Darshanaha, Param Drishtva Nivartate, that we achieve the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. Having achieved the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, anything material of this material world is considered to be niraya aupamyam. It is considered to be hellish. So this is the process. Purushanujana Priya, this is the process. We need to take the shelter of the spiritual master coming in the bona fide sampradaya, who gives us the shelter of the Supreme Lord. When that happens in our life, then niraya aupamyam, then whatever is of so-called value of this material world, it is considered to be equal to hellish. Whether this opulence is bhaumam in the lower planetary system, or divyam in the higher planetary system, or manusham on the earthly planetary system. Mahitam, all these opulences is still niraya aupamyam. It's equal to hellish only. And this is what we say regularly in our morning puja. Yasya prasadat bhagavat prasado, yasya prasadat nangati kutopi. Dhyayam stuvam stasya, yasastri sandhyam, vande guru sri charanaravinda. That we should take the shelter of our spiritual master. And when spiritual master gives us his prasada, then we get the prasada of the Lord. And Priyavrata has achieved this because he has pleased his spiritual master, Narada Mahamuni. While he went through all the opulences of having great kingdom, beautiful wife, children, etc., all this he considered it as Niraya Aupamyam. And this we find in the life of Srila Prabhupada as well. He not only has written, he is an Acharya. And Acharya is a person who teaches by his personal example. He teaches us through his personal example. And Goswamis also, when they wrote their books, at the end they would say that all devotees become pleased with our writings. So this is the Param Drishtva Nivartate. And how do we live in this material world? We have to practice, as Rupa Goswami says, Yukta Vairagya. Engage this material opulence in the service of the Supreme Lord, because this is His energy. Bhumirapo nalovayu kammano buddhirevacha. It is His energy, therefore you have to engage in His service. And as a sadhaka, when can we achieve this Param Drishtva? By chanting properly Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. In Japa book, Gurudev says that when in his, I think 1969-70, when he was chanting, suddenly he found his whole body becoming ecstatic. Then he realized that the chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, that holy name, has touched his spirit soul. So when the holy name has touched his spirit soul, that's the time when he felt that ecstatic happiness, or he felt ecstasy. And hence in his Japa retreats, Gurudev says that chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. At least see that, don't give a big task to the mind, because mind is like a child. A simple task, chant one mantra or hear one holy name. When we chant that one mantra or chant one holy name, let that touch the spirit soul. And that ecstasy, when a person experiences, anything of this material world becomes Niraya Aupamyam. It becomes equal to hell, because that is higher taste, Param Drishtva Nivartate. And how do we get that? Maharaj says in his ninth key, that this is called the master key, we should get the mercy of the Supreme Lord, the mercy of the holy name. And when can I qualify for that mercy of the holy name? When I share that mercy with others. If I share my mercy with others, whatever little mercy I share with others, then I get mercy from the Supreme Lord. And what is the best way of sharing the mercy with others? Is to take this transcendental message to others. Show them what this mercy is. That gives them the higher taste. So when they experience the higher taste, you feel satisfied in the heart, because you have worked as an instrument in the hands of your Gurudev, the hands of your spiritual master, hands of Supreme Lord. So this is the Param Drishtva Nivartate, that we share the mercy, then we are sharing the mercy of the Gurudev, and therefore the mercy of the Supreme Lord follows the mercy of a devotee. Spiritual master blesses you, and therefore Krishna's mercy follows. This is Param Drishtva Nivartate. And then Niraya Aupamyam, whatever is of this material world, it becomes hellish. Since we see the material world as Krishna sees, it is Janma Mrityu Jara Vyadi Dukkha Dosha Anudarshan. Yeah, thank you. Hare Krishna. Gandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Any questions or any comment? Yes, Mataji.
He says the devotee doesn't want the five kinds of opulences. Like in the opulence which is living on the same planet as the Lord, it's still devotional service, so why the devotee doesn't want that?
Just because you are living on the same planet does not mean you are serving, Mataji. Yeah, it's like I'm living on the same place in Melbourne where the Prime Minister of this place is Victoria. It doesn't mean that I'm serving the Prime Minister. I'm just living on this planet, or I'm living on this place.
So in Vaikuntha planet, it's possible to live there and not serve the Lord?
We can say that it's on a neutrality. So therefore, it is not the service like we say that you are serving the Supreme Lord, engaging your to the flesh of the Lord. They're just living on the same planet. Salokya, even if someone is very close to the Supreme Lord, still they may not be serving. They're just in proximity.
Is your only a comment regarding that question? The devotee doesn't want as an aim living in the same planet of the Lord, as an aim for his own benefit. As a means, yes, because that will facilitate his service to the Lord. So it's the difference between the aim and the means. So that is very subtle. I would like to have a lot of powers if that will facilitate my service to the Lord, but more as a aim for my sense gratification. Is that the difference? That clarify a little bit? That is Yukta Vairagya in one sense. Not like Srila Prabhupada, for example, he would like to learn more all the opulence of the pastimes when a devotee show him a picture of a yogi rejecting a hill of coins or money. And Prabhupada said, no, I would like to embrace that and bring him more. Because that is a means for service, facilitating his service, not as an aim for his own, the goal of his life. And so in that sense also, the devotee doesn't want to live in the same planet of the Lord, or doesn't want to have the same form of the Lord or the same power as the Lord as an aim, but as a means for his service. It's perfect. Welcome. All religion.
Yes. Thank you. Yeah. So long it affords in a service, it doesn't matter where he stays. That service makes him feel that place good for his stay, whether it is a hellish situation or a difficult situation or a pleasant situation, doesn't matter. If it does not involve explicit service to the Lord, the devotee is not interested.
Yeah, that is also, if you are, you know, perhaps question kind of common, if you allow me. It's regarding this text. I was trying to internalize the meaning, because yes, we need to develop that detachment, that perception of this material world is a hellish place. As you said, looking from the Krishna's perspective, point of view. But also Krishna sees this material world as his energy, his prakriti, and it's meant for his enjoyment. If we learn, because we are in this material world, so if we learn to see this material world as a Krishna's energy for his enjoyment and utilize that, so that is also another way for purify our consciousness and things like that. So it's like a two different perspective levels, because I was trying to understand basically as a devotee, practicing devotees, we need to interiorize that aspect of, we need to see this material world not for my own enjoyment. Coming up from that platform, self-centered, that it's for my purpose, based on my interest. But if I learn to see that literally higher for Krishna's interest, I won't see this material world as a hellish place. I will see this my means for serving Krishna. So that would be purifying, it would help me in my Krishna's consciousness. So just trying to understand that point. And without disregarding the importance of this verse, but helping us to rise a little bit more to different levels of Krishna consciousness. But all are basic, all are important, all are interconnected. Without this, we cannot rise up.
See, our process is not that of detachment, but our process is that of attachment. Attachment to Guru's service, attachment to Guru's lotus feet, attachment to Lord's lotus feet. In the process, automatically you become detached from the material aspects. This is the essence of our process. Whereas in other processes, their focus is on detachment from matter. So in the process of getting themselves detached from matter, there is always a possibility of fall down because they do not have the higher attachment. I need to have something to hold on so that I can leave whatever I am having. If I do not have anything to hold on, I can't leave this. I'll fall down again.
That's a good point. I cannot rise without that.
So therefore, the material opulence, whatever we have, in case of Priyavrata, we can say that it was given to him by the Lord. It is not by, if whatever material opulence I am getting, it is because of my previous karma. And that material opulence, if I try to enjoy, then immediately, as Bhagavad Gita says 13.22, I come in contact with the material energy and then I am swallowed. I become bonded. It becomes a binding for me. But when the material opulence is arranged by the Lord, it is not because of my karma, then it is not a binding for me.
But the difference of self-centered and Krishna-centered.
Yes. So when I get the opulence, because the arrangement of the Lord, it's not binding. But when I get the material opulence because of the so-called my previous karma, then it becomes a binding for me.
Okay.
As I said, mother, all interrelated once again. Krishna gives that opulence only when he knows very well that you are not going to misuse.
I was also appreciating the importance, quite important, that point of Parandrishtva, in the sense that we cannot move on or give up that self-centered tendency. Yes, we thought about the appreciation of material enjoyment and seeing the material nature opulence. We thought that Parandrishtva, because we are, that Parandrishtva also is because we are experiencing higher taste. It's in one sense self-centered because it's my personal experience, but because it's higher and it's purified, it's connected with God, help us, as you said, all on us through that attachment to material thought in material engagement, in gratification. That Parandrishtva is quite important, determinant in that aspect.
Yeah.
Even if we are remaining in the self-centered platform, because the Parandrishtva is an experience that we perceive, we realize, we feel, we experience. So,
yeah, in our case, we get that Parandrishtva by holding on to the lotus feet of the Gurudev, as Priyavrata has done, and it starts with our chanting. Our chanting should be good. If our chanting, which is the core process, is good, then everything falls in its proper place. We should chant and hear. That's when the holy name bathes the consciousness, or it touches the spirit soul. And when that holy name touches the spirit soul, then that Parandrishtva Nivartate, that the spirit soul gets that higher taste.
That is a natural proclivity, tendency as a spiritual soul. But because of our layers of covering, so that touch of the soul, that you say, it will be like lifting up those coverings and just awakening our real nature.
Because any other material opulence we experience in this world does not touch the soul. Nothing of the matter can touch the soul, because soul is spirit. Soul by nature is happy. And nothing of this world can reach that and touch spirit soul. Only a spirit can touch the spirit soul. And that is the holy name of the Lord. And when we experience that as a higher taste, then it's easy to leave the other aspects of this material world. So as part of, it's a package, nice chanting, nice hearing Krishna Katha, association of devotees, eating prasadam, all this Parandrishtva Nivartate, because all these aspects are spiritual, they are not material. If it were to be material, it won't give you the required happiness in order to get detached from the opulences of the material world. Niraya Aupamyam. It won't happen. Anything material is not going to give you happy. It will only titillating, little bit, it touches the scratch, the surface. Our senses get materially excited.
I was stimulated thinking a lot of questions how it would be, but and I'm all the time thinking about
Hare Krishna, Gandharajat ki jai.
So between soul and the holy name, yes, I agree that only when holy name touches your soul, then you'll be happy. Then it comes into the Chidananda mode. But in between them, there is so many cues. So even though you may be chanting, but by the time it reaches in between, there are so many thieves, they will steal all this. Such as this, all this, Aristarvas, Kama, Koda, Loba, Moha, Alamashaya. So these are our thieves which are not eating, putting into teeth and touch.
Yeah, so therefore, when we pick up the chanting beats, it is, we are going to a separate topic now, but about chanting, I can only make a simple statement, read Japa book. Because there, Maharaj gives 9 keys. And the first key is chant Hare Krishna. And the 9th key is that the master key, that we should get the mercy of the Supreme Lord. Our action, our behavior, our activities should be such that Krishna is happy to bestow His mercy. And that mercy follows the mercy of a devotee. And who could be a better devotee than your own spiritual master? And He'll share His mercy if you follow His instructions. And that's what we find in Priyavrata. Narada Mahamuni was very happy with Priyavrata.
So we need to build alliance of armies and supreme armies to win.
Yeah, that is true. Hare Krishna.